All right, and with that, let's welcome everyone to this week's Citizens Climate University, a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight's topic is June 2021's Lobby Training Number 2, Our Final Preparations. Join CCL's Vice President of Government Affairs, Dr. Danny Richter, for a training that's going to provide you up-to-the-moment insights on the dynamics in Congress, our legislative strategy, and on really how to frame and talk about the endorsements and statements of support from the primary ask handouts that will be most effective in meeting to support our agenda. You asked, and we are listening. We're also going to make sure tonight to dive into more discussion around the carbon border adjustment challenges. And last week, when I introduced Danny, I went into more of his role with CCL. So this week, for fun, let's give a little bit of more background. Before joining CCL, Danny came to work on climate by way of medicine. Realizing the potential for a warming world to make lots of people sick, Danny figured the best thing he could do for the most people was prevent that warming in the first place. So that led him to pursue a PhD in oceanography at Scripps, figuring that an understanding of past warming and cooling could help him counter the current human-caused warming. We are so honored to have you join us again tonight, Danny, for Lobby Training Part 2. With that, I will pass it to you, and thank you all for being here.
But my goals here, I hope that I will be able to convey to you, we will confirm that the primary and supporting asks are now finalized and where to find them on CUNY. I hope you will leave with examples of how to use the carbon pricing as popular documents in your meetings, and I hope you'll be able to wield the last developed country with a carbon price narrative that is in all of the primary asks with a bit more nuance after tonight's webinar. So those are my goals, and the agenda, it tracks pretty closely to that. Primary asks are now finalized. I'll go through samples, just model how I might use the carbon pricing as popular documents in a meeting. Then we'll have a nuanced border discussion, and then we'll have plenty of time for Q&A and discussion. So let's get started. So the primary asks are finalized. The reason they were not yet finalized was because we were waiting for Senator Whitehouse to reintroduce his bill. As it turns out, we thought it might come out yesterday or today. It is now scheduled to come out next week on Thursday. And so that was what we were waiting for. I think that we can still be effective in calling attention to that so that when it is reintroduced, it is able to very quickly gain co-sponsors in the Senate. We're just going to refer to the bill from the 116th Congress. And if senators know that Senator Whitehouse is the person you want them to talk to, they'll be able to take it from there. So primary asks are now finalized. The draft watermark has been removed. You can download those and share them with your offices in advance of your meeting. And I just want to take a moment to recap what the five different primary asks are. For Senate Republicans, it's to help America compete. We want you to read the border adjustment language in the Durbin, Whitehouse, and Coons bills. All of those are Senate bills, so focusing there. For House Republicans, it's basically the same thing. Help America compete. Read the border adjustment language in the Deutsch, Fitzpatrick, and Newman bills. Those are all House bills. So we're referring senators to Senate bills. We're referring representatives in the House to other bills that are in the House. For Senate Democrats, we want them to co-sponsor the Durbin bill or the White House bill. That's what we want Democratic senators to do. Grow support, visible support from Democrats in the Senate to help push a carbon price into the center of the climate discussions. For House Democrats who are not yet co-sponsors, we want them to co-sponsor the Deutsch bill, HR 2307. It is not yet reflected on congress.gov, but heard from the Deutsch office today, up to 67 co-sponsors on that. So 67 co-sponsors on the Deutsch bill, feeling good about that. And for House Democrats who are already one of those 67 co-sponsors, we want them to speak publicly about their support for HR 2307. getting them to talk about it in hearings, in on their websites, in public communications within the district. All of that is going to be helpful, and we included all of those ideas on the main primary ask document. So those are our primary asks. Next, I'll just review briefly the supporting asks. We have five supporting asks, and we limit the number of official supporting asks because we want to maximize the power of our numbers. CCL has a lot of people, a lot of you who are willing to turn up on a Thursday night and learn about this kind of stuff. And so we want to translate that power and that passion and focus it. So only five. We also try and pick supporting asks that are going to be useful for building a relationship with a wide variety of members. So for example, the Growing Climate Solutions Act, which is focused on agricultural resilience, thus we found effective at building relationships for members for whom agriculture is important to their district or their states. We also have the Reclaim Act. This is focused on coal country resilience. So this is useful for people with members who have coal in their district or in their states. These were the supporting asks also in March. We have three new official supporting asks this time around. We have the Hope for Homes Act, which is focused on household energy efficiency. This might be a good one to use for more progressive members. We also have the Energy Sector Innovation Credit, ESIC, Energy Sector Innovation Credit Act, which is focused on providing investment and production tax credits for emerging clean energy technologies. So these would be useful for members of Congress on the Ways and Means Committee, on the Finance Committee in the Senate, or who are generally interested in innovation. If they're talking about innovation to address climate change, this is a good way to direct them, a lot of Republicans, or if they're interested in renewables, this is a good bill to hold to direct them to. And then there's the SCALE Act, which is focused on developing carbon capture and sequestration infrastructure. We helped pass the Use It Act, helping research carbon capture and sequestration, and now we have the SCALE Act, which is the infrastructure. And we know that for Republicans in particular, carbon capture and sequestration is much more popular amongst Republicans and is popular in certain regions of the country, for example, our Wild West region. So those are supporting us for the conference. So now let's where to find this. If you go on to community, you can find it under resources, lobbying Congress. It's right there in the green box. And I want you to note that the developed economies handout, which I have right here, I talked about this last week. It looks like this. It just turns white. You know what? It's because of all the green. You'll see it in another slide later on. But that's that one. And then both of the carbon pricing is popular documents are also available on the primary asks page. We also have one pagers for all of those supporting asks. So if you want to just deliver that one pager for that one supporting ask, you have a resource to deliver. So those are where the resources are. Now let's talk about the one pagers. And I'm actually gonna, that was frustrating. And so I'm gonna turn off, this is actually Colorado behind me. I'm gonna turn it off, beautiful Colorado. You can see our messy office room. So this is a peek behind the curtains, and we're going to talk about, this is the sheet that I was talking about, and we're going to talk about these two documents now, the two versions of the carbon pricing is popular documents. There's one to use with Republicans that has the green highlights. There's one which we're recommending that use with Democrats. That's the one on your screen right now. And our recommendation is that you use this one with Democrats, use the other one with Republicans, but you don't have to follow that recommendation. If you think that it's best for your member to use this one with a Republican or to use the one that's focused on businesses with a Democrat, you can do that. It's up to you. What's new? These have been updated since March. On this one that you see in front of you, the number of endorsements, you've continued to be busy. That's been updated since March. And we've also updated in the bottom right-hand corner, that used to be 8 out of the 10 largest economies in the world have a carbon price, and we've updated it to 34 out of the 36 developed economies in the world have a carbon price. So that tracks with the updates to the primary asks. Looking at the business focused one, it looks very much the same, but we've gotten some new, more recent statements of support. So Maersk, which is a big shipping company, if you've ever been by a port and you see those big containers, you see Maersk on the side of them, they called just on June 2nd for a $150 per ton tax on shipping fuel by 2030, at least $150 per ton. You also have a statement from the U.S. Climate Finance Working Group and from the American Chemistry Council. We swapped those out for the Climate Leadership Council statement, the CEO Climate Dialogue statement, and the Electric Power Supply Association statement. All those statements are still good. We just wanted to swap them out for some more recent news. So now let's talk about how you might use these, how I envision you using these. So how to use these with your members. First of all, do some research on your member beforehand. I know you do this anyway, but check out opensecrets.org. Get a sense of who their biggest donors are and look at their website to see what issues they're highlighting. This research may give you a clue as to which of these organizations or people from these handouts you might want to highlight, and then you can highlight that in your meeting. So let's look at the Democrats first. So how might I use this in a Democratic meeting? Let's say that I'm meeting with a progressive Democrat in the Senate. After delivering the primary ask to become a co-sponsor on either the Durbin bill, S-685, or the White House bill when it comes out next week, I might say, look, we want President Biden to succeed on climate. He's trying to do big things on the international stage, but to be honest, I really don't see why other countries will take him seriously when we're only one of only two developed economies that do not have a carbon price. The rest of the world is looking at the IPCC report, that consensus document, which says, and we have it for you right here in this corner, that explicit carbon pricing remains a necessary condition of ambitious climate policies. I know he's concerned about the popularity of this policy in the US, but a carbon price was recommended by both the House and the Senate Select Committees on the Climate Crisis in the last Congress. It's supported by over 1,100 small and medium businesses throughout the country. That is the businesses that were hit the hardest during the pandemic, and literally thousands of economists, including all living former Federal Reserve chairs, in part for how progressive it is for those who were hit hard by the pandemic. This will be even easier for Biden and the climate with more Democratic senators like yourself doing the easy thing. It's popular here, it's popular among our peer countries. We should get serious and we should do this. So that's how I envision you could potentially use this. You use the examples, you can read out the quotes, and you can build that case for, hey, look, this is popular here, this is popular abroad, to meet the agenda, the goals that you already have. CCL is helping you do that, and this can help you do that. Co-sponsoring this legislation can help you do this. So now let's talk about how we might use the other document for a Republican office. Let's say we're in a House Republican office. After delivering the primary ask to review the border adjustment language in the Deutsch, Newman, and Fitzpatrick bills, we might say, the ground is really shifting on this issue in some important constituencies. Take business, for example. Carbon pricing has attracted a lot of supportive statements from business trade associations, individual businesses, and over 1,100 small and medium-sized businesses, those that were hit hardest by the pandemic. We've gathered some of those statements here for you to look at. For instance, the Business Roundtable, and I quote, the Business Roundtable supports a market-based mechanism reduction strategy that includes a price on carbon, end quote. And one of the most recent statements from June 2nd comes from Maersk, quote, Maersk is calling on the International Maritime Organization, shipping's global regulator, to have a carbon dioxide tax for the industry ready by 2025 likely starting about $50 a ton, then ramping up to at least $150 a ton in subsequent years, end quote. The bottom line is that we are only one of two developed economies that doesn't have a carbon price. This policy with a border adjustment is a stick, and that's why China and Russia have responded to the EU carbon border adjustment mechanism. And frankly, I prefer to be waving the stick and not to have the stick waved at me. It is increasingly obvious that business wants our answer to the changing global marketplace to be a carbon price. Please help American businesses compete. So that's how you might use this. And that last sentence goes back to the top of the primary ask. And you can see how you might use these two documents. What's super important in all of this is that you do it in your own words. So please don't try and just do exactly what I said. Figure out what's on this document, do your research about your member of Congress, discuss it with your group, and figure out how you might weave these in to your meetings and make sure that you practice it in your own words, how you tighten this connection and open up new avenues for offices to think about that. Because that's what we're really wanting to do. And that's what I hope with the nuanced border carbon adjustment discussion that I'm about to go into. This is really what we want to do. Next slide, please, Brett. We want to get the offices we're talking to thinking about the solution in a new way, sparking creativity and engagement in problem solving. That's what we want to do. And that's what this argument, this one of two developed economies not to have a carbon price, that's what this is supposed to do, to shift their view of an old solution, an old problem, get them to view it in a new light. And so let's review the core arguments here. For Democrats, the core arguments here are that the US is isolated. We are one of only two developed economies that don't have this. Biden cannot succeed in his international ambition until we are aligned with what scientists and economists have said is the fastest, most effective, least cost way of reducing emissions. Other developed economies that already have a carbon price and are starting to put on carbon border adjustment mechanisms have no incentive to trust Biden until this policy has durability, that is, that it passes through Congress, and that we as a country show seriousness, that is, that we're listening to the experts, evidence-based results in terms of what works the fastest for the largest emissions at the lowest cost. And I think it's also important with Democratic offices, we're not saying this and nothing, we're always saying this and. Let's do other things. Everything else is going to be more effective if we level up to what the rest of the developed world is doing and we have a carbon price passed through Congress. So that's the key argument for Democrats. For Republicans, it's a very, very different argument. For Republicans, the key argument here is, look, other countries are going to eat our lunch. If we don't put if we don't have a carbon price, then the carbon price has to be assessed at the, in this case, the European or the Canadian border when they do this. And that means that it is the European governments, it is the Canadian governments who are collecting the revenue from the tariff. And they get to decide what to do with this. It's not, if we had a carbon price, we would collect the revenue. And probably the easiest thing to be that would happen is that other countries would just say, there's equivalence. We would not rebate it at our border. They would not have to assess it at their border. They would just declare equivalence. And that money stays in the United States. So that's the key to that argument, is that other countries will, with Republicans, will eat our lunch. And the other key for Republicans is that carbon border adjustment mechanisms are effective at enforcing good behavior from countries like Russia and China. And seeing is believing, so I want to show you the articles where I get this and the key quote. So both these articles happen to be from Bloomberg. So here's the headline, April 20th, Russian lawmakers backed the nation's first ever climate law. And the key quote is this. However, the nation is alarmed by the EU's plan of a cross-border carbon tax, which may affect some of its key raw material producers and exporters, including miners. Their losses may reach as much as $8 billion every year, according to Russian industry estimates. So here in this Bloomberg article, you find this reporter drew a direct line between the EU carbon border adjustment and Russia's actions of reading out this carbon pricing bill in the Duma. You also see this for China. Here's the headline for the China article: carbon restrictions can bend the emissions curve. And here's the key quote: that's why the EU is exploring the use of carbon border tariffs, which would slap higher costs on imports of carbon-heavy goods if they don't face any penalties at home. It's one reason why China, a big exporter to Europe, is working to accelerate its deployment of a domestic carbon market. So here again, you see a reporter drawing a direct line between what Europe is doing and China's actions. And so this is the basis for that statement that a carbon border adjustment is an effective tool at increasing the ambition of other countries. So now I want you to be on the lookout in your meetings for opportunities. This is extremely relevant because Biden is searching for a way to be impactful in the international space. It is relevant because we're always concerned about our competitiveness, especially Republicans. And so the idea that we might be on the losing end here, that we might be losing out on our revenues, this might create some incredulity. It might create concern, or it might create a lot of interest. And I want you to be ready to translate this into a suggestion. You know, I see you're concerned. I see you're not quite sure about this. Why don't you just call in an expert? Have a briefing, have a hearing on this. Learn more directly from the experts. I'm a constituent. I'm really excited about this, but you should really hear from the experts. And so I want you to be on the lookout for that. And the difference between a briefing and a hearing is called by a committee of jurisdiction. It's an official part of the congressional record. A briefing is more informal. Any member can host a briefing at any time, and that does not become a part of the congressional record. Both can be impactful. Both are opportunities to bring in experts and speak to their incredulity, their concern, or their interest. So be on the lookout for suggesting, you know, you really should get to the bottom of this if you run into some of these, some difficult questions. I also want you to look for opportunities to share the companion document. This is just a piece of it. That was the green screen problem that I had earlier. And the thing to emphasize here is this is not any complicated analysis. CCL is not a think tank. We are an advocacy organization. All we did is compare two simple lists, one list from the UN, one list from the World Bank, and one of these things was not like the other. That's all we did. And I think that by emphasizing the simplicity of this analysis, just two sources, just comparing them, I think that that really underlines there's no tricks, there's no tricky analysis. It's just that obvious. And I think that that can be an important point to make to the staffer and the member you're speaking with. So be on the lookout for that opportunity. And now let's get to some questions that you might expect. So in the primary asks, there's this question of that the EU ETS has hit record highs. The record high is over 50 euros a ton, and it crossed that high on May 4th. Between May 4th and June 7th, where I found this article, carbon to hit 100 euros sooner than you think. Listen to that. $56 is the highest. 56 euros is the highest price that the EU ETS has hit, and carbon could hit 100 euros. They said by 2030. So if that's something you would like to say, again, this is from Bloomberg. By 2030, there are experts forecasting that the EU ETS will hit 100 euros. So that's where that comes from. Let's look at another question that I expect you might get. There's that little paragraph in there that talks about you can't do a border carbon adjustment on other policy types like subsidies, like regulations, like standards. They cannot have a border adjustment. And the background for this comes from this report, which I have on the right. It's actually paragraph 41 of this Cosby and Fisher report. This is a report that I featured in other talks on the border carbon adjustment. And the reason why, they give two reasons in paragraph 41. Reason one, non-price policies should not be covered for two reasons. One, while they may raise costs and influence competitiveness, it is impossible to calculate a transparent fashion the costs associated with the policy. Transparency is super important for the WTO. And for these, the price is not transparent. And it would not make sense to allow more inefficient climate policies which impose higher costs to have larger adjustments. The translation here is you need to have a transparent or explicit cost. You need that simplicity in order to have a border carbon adjustment. And the second reason is, while they may impose costs on regulated sectors and may mandate lower emissions, non-price policies like these subsidies, regulations, and standards do not require that producers pay for the remaining embodied carbon in their products, which is what BCAs are designed to adjust for. So if you think about it, the regulations, the standards, and the subsidies, they're not assessing a price on carbon. They are somehow creating some other price constraint. And so if you're importing from one of the 34 countries that does have an explicit carbon price, that's on the carbon dioxide. So you're comparing apples to oranges. And so that's another key reason why these other mechanisms can't have a border carbon adjustment, because they are not a price on carbon. It's on something else. So that's the reason for this point. If that does come up in your meeting, that's the answer you can give. And then another question, I've gotten this from a couple of volunteers already. You're asking how much revenue would be raised by this, and is it possible to estimate how much revenue we would lose due to this? And the answer is that it's really difficult to estimate with any confidence, and so it's so difficult that I don't think you want to go there. Because it's going to be, you have to build on so many assumptions that I just think it's better not to try and do this, because you're going to get caught in one of those assumptions. So let's talk about some of those uncertainties. You have exchange rates that move in different directions at different times between different countries. So that's problematic. You have shifting complicated supply chains. In one car, you may have parts from 17 different countries. And those parts probably don't have a border carbon adjustment. The cars won't have a border carbon adjustment on them in all likelihood. But if the EU does get down to that level, then it's on the car, it's not on all these 17 parts. And some of those parts may have significantly different emissions depending on which country they came from. And the supplier might change to a different country. There might be an 18th country, it might be down to 15. You also have variable energy sources. If you have a plant that is producing something in Washington State, where they have a lot of hydropower, as opposed to something in, say, Georgia, where there's going to be more coal input, those same products are going to have very different carbon impacts. And so how do you adjust for that at the border? Same thing if you're manufacturing something in the EU from different countries, different energy sources, and at a certain point, that can switch. You can start getting different power from different sources. And then there are the details of implementation, which sectors are covered. Yes, we know the EITEs, your paper, your pulp, your ceramics, your steel, your glass, but what if they go beyond that? And then which standards are used? Are you using the best available technology standard, which is probably the most likely not to suffer a WTO challenge? Are you using the national standard of the importing country? So you're assuming all goods are treated exactly like they are. They have the exact same emissions as like goods as other goods produced in the United States. Or are you trying to get country specific? You're looking at each and every country which has variable reporting quality, and you're trying to assign carbon intensity based on that country. We don't know. All of those are possibilities. It could be a hybrid, and what standards are used could vary from country to country. So that's just a sample of all the complexity that could go into this and why it's really difficult to estimate how much revenue we're talking about. This also, I think, informs the FAQ that we were just on as to why subsidies, standards, and regulations can't be border adjusted. This complexity is just, there's just a whole other layers of complexity for pulling apart how much of this cost is on the carbon versus how much is anything else. So it has to be an explicit price. And we also have a lot of resources here to talk about the border if you want to study up. So CCL blogs and trainings are listed here. The laser talks are listed here. So there's a lot of resources if you want to go to educate yourself, because I do think that this is going to be a topic of interest.
If you have questions after tonight, feel free to follow up in the forums. We do recommend you also actually look through some of the most recent forums discussion to see if it's already been answered. As always, we try to get these trainings edited and uploaded by the end of the next afternoon on our YouTube channel and CCL community. Just a special note for Danny's trainings, we do save the Q&A. Most of the time we cut that off, but because we don't want to have a long training, we have a separate link in the description field for the Q&A that you can follow up on if you don't want to just listen to the main points again, but also hear Danny's answers in Q&A. But with that, I'm going to unmute all lines so that we can see and hear each other and share that love. Thank you all for being here, and we look forward to hearing about your lobby meetings. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.